Alright, let me get situated a little bit here. A lot of stuff here. Alright. Wow, I feel like it's been a minute since I've seen you guys, since the retreat last September, right? So it's been a little while, so it's always good to come home. So really glad to have this time. As Lauren had mentioned, I'm here to kind of two purposes. One, I'm going to do the message today, but then just to celebrate God's goodness in releasing a follow-up book to Be Free. So this is the new book. It's a follow-up to the Be Free book. And so in 2020, when we had the Be Free book came out, I remember celebrating with my church family. So I thought, how appropriate for my second book to come out for me to do the same. So I wanted to just celebrate God's goodness and being able to do that together. Last week, Pastor Barry had talked about the first chapter in the Serving Challenge, and he had talked about at the end about how it's important for our attitude and our identity, right? And so that's what the Be Free ministry is about, you know? So like this first book, Be Free, it's largely focused in on more who you're not. You are not what you do. You are not what other people think about you, right? This is very ingrained in us, and we have to do things to come against it. Okay, very practical way to be able to do that. The Be Free devotional book is a follow-up to the Be Free book. This is focused in more intently about who you are. Okay, so if you want to grow in who you are in Christ, this has been largely transformative to me in my own life. Focusing on who you are, not just focusing on who you're not. Okay, so I want to encourage you to do that. Part of the celebration, I want to give some away. Yes. All right, so I'm going to give away one to the old-timer who had taken my original class where all this came from, Freedom 101. Okay, so you take Freedom 101. Okay, so there's several of you. Okay, for all those that raised their hand that have taken the book, whose birthday is closest to today? What do we got back here?
March 25th.
March 25th? February 12th. That's pretty close. Anything closer? Any closer than those two? All right, come up and get your books. Here you go. Okay, in honor of the Serving Challenge, I want to give these two books for you to give away. This is not for yourself. If you know people that are getting their value and their identity and their worth from what they do and what other people are thinking about them, this is a great introduction to what Catalyst is about, to what Be Free Ministry is about. Who has people like that that they like to give it away? Anybody? Anybody want to come up and give it one away? Okay, Cass? Okay, come on up. Oh, there you go, Kev. Good to see you, bro. Okay, Cass. All right. Okay, on to a different book. The Serving Challenge, okay? So I'm here to speak on the second chapter of the Serving Challenge about availability. So title of today's message, Slow Down. Slow down. It's so ironic that I was preaching on this because I was such in a hurry this morning trying to get ready. I kept thinking this is like so funny that I'm preaching about slowing down. We're going to start with this number, 2,617. Okay, I want you to guess, what's the significance of this number, 2,617? Any guesses? What is the significance of that number? This is the average times the typical iPhone user touches their phone every day. 2,617. Every text, every letter, every email, every app, every swipe, every time you touch it, on average, this is average. Some people are more than this. 2,617 times. And when I was thinking about this, I was like, there's no way I have this. But honestly, when I started thinking about it, I think I'm at least average. And when I think about this, and I think about just the nature of just their phones, having everything available right away, immediately to you, it affects us. And having this constant stream of technology has really hindered us from us being open, available, and present with God and with other people. You know, and I think it's really hard for us because when we do are constantly barrauded with all these things that are coming so quickly at us, it affects us. You know, one thing that's affected us is our attention span. Okay, so this is not that long ago, but the year 2000, the average attention span was 12 seconds. Already it was starting pretty low. Okay, that's the year 2000. Okay, the iPhone came out in 2007. Okay, so this is before the iPhone, all this, 12 seconds. By 2015, 8 seconds. 8 seconds. That's 2015. Okay, just to give you some reference, if we can look at the next slide. A goldfish's attention span is 9 seconds. We are losing to the goldfish. That's 2015. What is it in 2026? We have to understand that our pace, that our life, that our culture that it's built on has had an impact on us to be able to focus, to being present, to being available to God and to other people. Okay? So we're going to look at one phrase, and we're going to kind of dig deep on this, and the phrase is this. We need to slow down internally and externally to make ourselves available to God and to others. Okay? We're going to look at this phrase. We're going to slow down internally and externally to make ourselves available to God and to other people. Okay, let's take the first one. Slow down internally. Okay, so I've been going through this book. It's called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. Okay, and it's so funny because I knew I was preaching today, so I was in a hurry to try to finish this book. God has a sense of humor. Okay, so I did not finish the book because I'm trying to go slowly. But he does, just Jean-Marc Comer, he does an excellent job in relating this hurry sickness that we do have in our society. That's actually a word, hurry sickness, that our life is so sped up, it's making us sick. He talks about how slowing down, the word slow, and it's funny, slow is literally a four-letter word, but it's become a negative in our society. Okay, so when we talk about, you know, something at a restaurant and we say the service was horrible, what do we mean? It was so slow. When we talk about a movie being really, really, really boring, we're saying it's what? It's so slow. Slow has become synonymous with something negative. It's something, everything geared in society, in economics, in culture, is geared towards going faster, not slower. Everything that comes out is, this is going to be faster, this is going to be more efficient, this is going to go quicker, this is going to be more immediate. We have to see that this call to slow down is very countercultural. It's countercultural. But the Bible puts an emphasis on slowing down. Look at Psalm 46:10. The psalmist says, what? Be still. Do you know that you have to be still to know God? Isn't that what the psalmist says? You have to be still in order to know God. That first line is the one that's often quoted in this verse in Psalm 46:10. But look at the verses after that. It's talking about being slow and then knowing he's God. But what is the result of that? That he's going to be exalted among the nations and exalted in all the earth. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, that's from being slow? Being slow is going to cause God to be exalted among all the nations and over all the earth? There's something that we're not getting with this idea of being slow, of being still, about knowing God. There's something that we're not understanding. Look at this passage in 1 Kings 19, okay? And this is story of Elijah, and this is coming off of a really monumentous, powerful time where he takes on the prophets of Baal and all these things. And then he goes into this deep depression and he's seeking for the Lord. And then in verse 11, the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. He wasn't in the loud things. He wasn't in the powerful things. He wasn't in the earth-shaking things. He came in a gentle whisper. But I want to ask you, if it's too noisy, you're not going to hear a whisper. It has to be quiet for you to hear a whisper. If it's too noisy externally, and especially if it's too noisy internally, you cannot hear the Lord. You cannot hear the Lord's gentle whisper. C.S. Lewis, he talked about when we go through pain and suffering in our lives, and he related that, and he said, pain and suffering is like God's megaphone. Like, how many know that's real, right? When you're going through pain and suffering, like God is shouting at you. And I'm not saying that all pain and suffering like this, but I think a lot of the pain and suffering is self-inflicted because he's trying to speak to us, but we can't hear him. So he has to bring out the megaphone. And I don't know about you, I don't want the megaphone. I don't want to have to learn this way. I don't want to have to him to resort to the last defense, because this is the line of last defense, because he's speaking to us all the time. But it's too noisy. We can't hear him. So he has to speak louder so we can hear him. And again, this is not universal. This is not a treatise on all pain and suffering. But I'm saying sometimes this is the case. He's trying to get our attention because we can't hear him. We're so distracted. We're so distracted with other things. We can't hear what God is trying to give us. Look at Jesus. Okay, the Serving Challenge book mentions about how Jesus was interruptible. Okay, I like that word. I was like, is that a word? Interruptible. Okay, and then he talked about this passage with Jairus, who was a leader of the synagogue that came to Jesus. He was a high-ranking official, came to Jesus and said that his daughter was suffering and about to die. Okay, Jairus was in a hurry. This is like an emergency. Okay, so Jesus agreed to go with Jairus. And then if you're familiar with the story, what happens when they're on the way to Jairus' house? A woman who is suffering with 12 years of bleeding comes and touches Jesus' garment. Okay, and it's very interesting what the text says, because once she touches his garment, it says she was immediately healed. This thing that she had for 12 years, she knew right away, it's gone. It's gone. But what did Jesus do? He already knows that happened because he says, power has left me. He already knows that that has happened, but he stops anyway. What is Jairus thinking? Like, why are you stopping? And then he's asking this question because crowds of people are coming upon him. Who touched me? He was stopping to address the woman. Even though there's this emergency happening, even though there's something so urgent happening, he could still stop and be present. I want to tell you, this is not happening by accident that Jesus is doing this. Look at this passage in Luke 5, verses 16, 15, and 16. Okay, Luke 5, verses 16, 15, and 16. Okay, this is when Jesus is incredibly busy. All these people are coming to be healed by him, and they're bringing everybody in the whole region. In verse 15, it says, the news about him spread all the more so that the crowds of people came to hear him to be healed of their sickness. Verse 16, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. That word lonely can be translated quiet or desolate. He needed to be alone. He needed to be quiet. He needed to be alone and withdraw. Silence and solitude. Jesus practiced silence and solitude. It's interesting when you think about this, and I don't want this to be lost. Jesus had to slow down. I want to say it again. Jesus had to slow down. This is something that we have. This can't be lost on us. If Jesus needed to slow down, then, oh my gosh. We need to slow down. I want to say that this is the source of Jesus' power. After the feeding of the 5,000, often people consider that the peak of his ministry. After the feeding of the 5,000, they want to make him king. What does he do? He sends everybody away, and he goes on the mountaintop to be alone with the Father, and he prayed all night. After that, he walks on water. I want to say that's not a coincidence. When we can slow down and be with the Lord, miraculous things happen. You can see why the psalmist said in Psalm 46 that the nations are going to be exalted. He's going to be exalted among all the earth when we can slow down and see him and have him work. We need to slow down, and it starts internally first. And I mentioned it is because Jesus was busy. He was very busy on the outside, but not on the inside. He was busy on the outside. He was doing a lot of activity. He was healing from the sun up to all the way to the sun down. That's why he literally had to leave. So he could be silent and alone with God. He was busy on the outside. He was not busy on the inside. We need to slow down internally. Okay? It's funny, when I was thinking about preaching this message, you know, I had agreed to do it, and Pastor Barry had asked, and I'm like, yeah. But I'm like, am I the right person to talk about slowing down? I'm the kind of person who's like, there's 30 seconds on the microwave, and I'm just sitting there, like, my tapping my feet, waiting for it to go. And, you know, my number one strength finder is maximizer. Okay, I have to make use of every moment. Okay, so I put it in the microwave, and then, you know, I have to go to the bathroom. I have to put it in the microwave, and let me go check an email, or let me make some use of this next minute, where I have to wait for my food. I'm the kind of person that when you're at Costco and you look at a line has like five people and you look at another line has three people, I'm going to change to the other lane. Okay? I do the same thing on the road, at the stoplight. When there's a whole bunch of cars in this lane and there's less in this lane, I will change my car to from this lane over this lane. And I had to ask the question, am I the right person to be talking about slowing down? And then the Lord said, that's exactly why you're giving this message. Hopefully that's relatable to you. I had to be intentional about slowing down. This is not going to happen automatically. There's nothing in today's society that's going to help you slow down. There's nothing. It's the opposite. Everything is going to try to help you to speed up, not slow down. So if you're going to slow down, it has to be intentional. It's not just going to happen organically. Okay? So I've been trying to slow down. Okay? I'll share one of them. Okay? One of them is, if you've been with me a while, you know that I like to go on prayer walks. Pastor Barry mentioned it last week. This is my time to slow down and to just enjoy God. It's not my time to read the Bible. It's not my time to do anything. It's just my time to enjoy God. But when this first started, it's funny because this first started during the pandemic, okay? When we're like locked up inside and like, as an introvert, I loved it in the beginning, but even for me, it was like too much. Like, I got to get out. I can't stay inside this house anymore. So we would walk. That's all you could do. Everything else is like closed. I started walking, okay? But being the maximizer, when I go out and walk, you know, I would take my dogs with me so I can walk the dogs. I would take a letter, stick it in my pocket because I could walk to the post office while I'm walking my dogs. And there's an ATM right next to the thing. Let me go to the ATM. So I take my dogs on a walk, you know, with my letter, going to the ATM, and then I'd have to listen to something. So I listen to something. Let me just make it productive. So I listen to a podcast or I listen to something. So I'm walking, you know, listening to something, walking my dogs, going to the post office, going to the ATM. And then the Lord started speaking to me. He said, okay, I know what you're doing. Okay, I know that you're trying to maximize. But it's funny what he said to me. I was like, Lord, do you not want me to maximize? He said, are you not maximizer? He said, I am, but mine looks very different from yours. He said, you're hearing other people talk about me. Why don't you just hear from me? So he said, I want you to take all the distractions off. Like, don't multitask, don't do all these things, stop listening to something, just go out and be quiet. Okay, so I started out just surrendering everything, surrendering all the things that are on my mind and on my heart, and I said, okay, I just want to make myself available to you. So I started walking, and then I started walking to my neighborhood, and then it felt so long, right? And then after a little while, I'm like, okay, I think that's enough. So I check my clock, 5 minutes. I literally went 5 minutes, I said, I'm done. That's it. That's all I can do. And then I recognized I can't slow down in here. I can't slow down. So I kept doing it. Okay? Pastor Barry mentioned like this micro habits, like to try to just do a little bit, step by step. Literally, step by step. I try to increase it step by step, a little bit more each time that I went out. And so 5 minutes turned to 7 minutes, turned to 10 minutes, turned to 15 minutes, turned to 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour, 2 hours. This happened over a long period of time. But I want to say, this is the most special time that I have. There's nothing better than just enjoying God. You have to be intentional about these things. We have to declutter our minds, okay? Let me give you some practical examples. Let's get practical here, okay? On page 88 of the Serving Challenge, okay, is a list of things to slow down. Okay? So if you can read that, I want you to take a look at this list, and I want you to identify which one of these things would be the easiest for you, and which one of these things would be the most difficult for you. Okay? So take a look at the list. Identify which one do you think would be the easiest, and which one do you think would be the most difficult for you to do. Okay, share with the person next to you, either one, easiest or hardest. Share with the person next to you, what do you think would be easiest or what do you think would be the hardest? All right, let's get back together. Okay, it's kind of funny because, like, you know, I've been trying to be intentional about slowing down, so the Lord's been speaking to me. So when I opened up this page, I was, like, so shocked because several of these are exactly what the Lord told me to do. So he told me, you need to drive the speed limit. And then he said, I want you to drive slower than the speed limit. Can I tell you how hard this was? This is very hard, especially when you're going like in a 25-mile-an-hour zone or a 30-mile-an-hour. Literally, I felt like I was crawling. I could not do it. It was so hard. And then he said, go below the speed limit. And the people are honking at me and giving me the finger as they drive by. I'm like, whoa. Then I was thinking, that would have been my reaction too. Because I cannot slow down. Why are you going so slow? I did that one. Come to a full stop. He told me, you need to come to a full stop. So what I would do, when I go to the stop sign, I have to say, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's what he told me to do. When you go to the stop sign, I want you to say, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. 1 second, 2 seconds, I don't know. I don't know. Is that long enough for a stop? I don't know. But that's what I did. He was just telling me, do something intentional. You have to slow down. Do something intentional. Okay? Let me give you another one. I'm just going to just a whole bunch of little ones, okay? The next one is called the Pause app. Okay? Several of you are, I can tell, haven't done this before. You can take it. This is the Pause app. Okay? Very good. This is very good at helping slow down. Okay? In the beginning, when I first got this, I would do this several times a day. Okay? And basically, there's different versions. Depending on where you are, it's a 1 minute, 3 minute, 5 minute, and 10 minute. Okay, you know where I started. 1 minute. I started with a 1 minute. And it just basically saying, I surrender. I surrender everything to you. Restore my union with you. I'm going to be connected with you. Okay? In the beginning, 1 minute. And it's funny, after the 1 minute, he says, and that's enough. It's like, yeah, that does feel like enough. And then I graduated. I shouldn't say graduated. Then I moved on, and I could tell I was getting slower. And eventually got to the 10 minutes. I felt like, this is not enough for me. I need more. Okay? So I don't really use this anymore, but this was a good on-ramp for me to help slow down. Okay, we're going to do another one called breath prayer. Okay, we're going to practice this. Okay, this is based on Genesis 2:7, okay, which we prayed in our intercessory prayer today. Genesis 2:7. Then the Lord formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Notice that he was already formed, but he had no life until God breathed in him the breath of life. Then he came alive. Just the practice of breathing and slowing down our breathing to recognize this. We're alive because of the Lord. Francis Chan does this all the time. He said, breathe in. The Lord lets you do that. Okay? When we slow down our breath. Okay, so I'm going to do a practice that I've been trying to do, which is called breath prayer. It's based on this Genesis 2:7. Okay, where we breathe in, and then we breathe out. Okay, so I'm a bad multitasker, so we'll do one step at a time. Okay, so we're at 5, 5, 5, 5, 5 stern, so we're going to do for 5 seconds each. Okay, we're going to breathe in for 5 seconds. You're going to hold it for 5 seconds, and then we're going to breathe out for 5 seconds. Okay, so let's just do breathing first. No prayer yet, just breathing. Just the breathing is good, okay? But we'll add the prayer. Okay, so let's all breathe in. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Hold. 2, 3, 4, 5. Breathe out. 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, if you're like me, I had trouble when I started doing this. Okay, let's try one more time. Breathe in for 5. Breathe in. 2, 3, 4, 5. Hold. 2, 3, 4, 5. Breathe out. 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, we're going to incorporate the prayer part. Okay, so when we're going to breathe in, we're going to breathe in a part of a verse. And we're going to hold for a moment to let it settle in, and then we're going to breathe out the second part. Okay, we'll start with the one we looked at, Psalm 46:10. Okay, so breathe in, be still, and know. Hold. Breathe out that I am God. Okay, this time I want you to say it just in your mind. You don't have to say it out loud. So you can breathe in, be still and know. Hold for a moment. Exhale that I am God. One more time. Inhale, be still and know. And exhale that I am God. It's a very simple way to incorporate the Genesis 2:7, to incorporate just our breathing. But do it with scripture. Okay, this is not emptying yourself like the Buddhists would do, right? Where they just empty themselves. You're doing this to fill yourself. But we have to slow down in order to get filled up, okay? So I was using these breath cards, these scripture cards, okay, that are for breath prayer. How many of you guys enjoyed that? Is that good? Okay, I'm going to give two of you guys these cards. Okay. Colleen, did you raise your hand? Why don't you come and get a set? All right. Very simple. Okay, other versions are you breathe out everything that doesn't belong. Carbon dioxide. You breathe in the fruit of the Spirit, right? There's a lot of different versions. You can just be creative about this, but it's a very good practical way to slow down. Okay? This last one is under the category of this is going to be hard. It's a media fast. Okay? It's a media fast. Okay? So media fast is exactly how it says. You unplug from all media, all social media, all technology. Basically, you're trying to completely do. Sometimes it's not practical. Like for work, you have to be on some stuff. But when it's your choice, you're going to go on to try to do a media fast. Okay, I know Pastor Robert does this very regularly. He does 21-day media fast all the time. Okay, it's funny because like I just finished a food fast a week ago. The first week of it, I also did a media fast. Guess which one was harder for me? Media. The media one was harder for me than not eating food. Does that say something? It was harder for me to do the media fast than to fast from food. Okay? I asked that question, which is going to be the easiest and which is going to be the hardest, because I want you to choose one of both. Do something easy that you can do. Stop at the stop sign for 2 seconds, Father said. Do something easy and then do something challenging, like a media fast. Okay? Do something easy, like do the pause app for 1 minute. Do something more challenging, go have some silence and solitude. Okay? Try to do one thing that you know you can do. And one thing to challenge yourself, because we have to push back. Because society is pushing forward, we need to push back. Okay? We can't be held captive and a slave to that. Okay? We need to slow down externally, internally. Okay. We talked about internal. We also need to slow down externally. Okay? We need to slow down externally. And I want you to mention before, slowing down internally is more important than slowing down externally. And we looked at Jesus. Jesus was incredibly busy, but he was not in a hurry. Slowing down internally will give you more margin than you could ever think to be available to God and to other people. Just internal, without doing anything external. If you just focus on slowing down internally, that's going to make a huge impact. Okay? But external is not irrelevant, okay? We need to slow down externally, too. We need to stop overscheduling. We need to stop trying to fill, okay, this is my confession, trying to stop to fill every single moment with something. We need to cut out the noise. We need to cut out the busyness. We need to cut out or cut down Netflix, YouTube, Instagram, video games, online shopping, doom scrolling. We need to either cut down or cut out these things that are incessantly after our attention and cause us to be so distracted we can't recognize anything that God is saying or what God is doing. There's so many times where we feel like God is absent. But I want to say he's not absent, we're too busy. He's not absent. It feels that way, but that's not the truth. He's not absent, we're too busy. We can't see him, we can't receive from him, we can't hear from him. No wonder it feels like he's absent. If you can't see him, you can't hear from him, you can't see anything he's doing, he's going to feel absent, and you're going to feel unloved, and uncared for and dismissed and an orphan. You're going to feel all those things, but those things are not true. They're self-imposed. They're self-imposed. We need to stop choosing other things ahead of God. And I'm saying this is to myself just as much as I want to share it with all of you. We need to stop putting other things ahead of God. Our convenience, our entertainment, all these other things that are grabbing our attention, whether it's our kids or our grandkids, our work, our money, our time, our emotions. We need to stop prioritizing those things above God. We will bend over backwards for some of these things. I see it in my own life. I see it for my kids. When they want something or need something, I'll bend over backwards to do it. I will sacrifice and make whatever it takes to do it. Am I doing the same thing for God? And if I'm not doing the same things for God, then those things have become an idol in my life. Look at this passage in Exodus 20. Exodus 20 is the list of the Ten Commandments. First one being this: you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven, above, or on earth, beneath, or the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God. It's talking about idols. It's talking about things that have taken our priority, our time, our focus, our energy. But I don't want you to miss the reason why he gives this command. Look in verse 5 again. He says the reason. For I, the Lord your God, am what?
Jealous.
I'm jealous. He's jealous for you. He's jealous for you. The thought of that is like not even comprehensible, that the Lord could be jealous for me. That doesn't make any sense to me. But this is what he says. I'm jealous for you. Can't you see that there's a fierceness in what the Lord is saying here that's behind the command to not have any other idols? There's a fierce love that he has for us. There is a fierce love that cannot be quenched that the Lord has for us. So when he's saying don't have any other idols, he's saying don't have this lesser thing, don't have a counterfeit. This is a counterfeit. This is a poor substitute. I'm a jealous God. I want to be with you this much that I would give this kind of command. And if you think about it, he has to command us to come and to have and to receive him. That command is not burdensome. That command is easy and light. He wants to give us more of himself. So for us to stop getting more of something else and replace all those other things, substitute, counterfeit. That's been my prayer so much lately. Stop letting me settle. Stop settling. No more counterfeits. I want the real thing. I want what I was made for and created for. No more counterfeits. But in order to do that, we have to slow down. We have to make room. We have to create margin, both internally and externally. We have to create margin. Okay, but I want to tell you this. You don't create margin just to have margin. Okay? I've seen this happen a lot. Like, this is a misunderstanding about margin, about boundaries, about all those things. Those are great. You should practice those things. But a boundary or a margin or different things to create more margin is not just to create more margin. Because guess what? You're just going to fill it up with something else. You create margin to choose what you really want. You create margin so you can choose what you really want. That's what a boundary is for. That's what saying no is for. Okay, when we say no to these things, we feel like we're losing something. But I want to say, when you say no to this, you're saying yes to something else. And that's the reason why you want to do it. Let's end with this. John 15, verses 5 and verses 9. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Okay? A lot of times we hone in on the very last part of verse 5, which is, apart from me, you can do nothing. We're just so focused on the negative. Look at the first half of the verse. If you're abiding in Jesus, if you remain in him and he remains in you, what's going to be the result? You're going to bear much fruit. The misperception is that if you slow down, you're going to be less productive. When you speed up, you're going to be more productive. When you're more efficient, you're going to do more. And I want to say, that's what the world's message is. That's what advertising is for. They want you to believe the more faster you can go, the more you can accomplish. I want to tell you that that's completely false. That's false. With all the technology that we have AI, we have it. Do you think we're more busy or less busy? We're more busy. We're not working less. That's a lie. John 15, 5 is the antidote to the lie. If you abide in me, I abide in you, this is the most productive thing you can do. This is the most productive thing you can do. You will be 100 times more productive. You can spend time abiding. Okay, that's the first half. Verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Notice this is what Jesus put first. He said, I need to receive from the Father first, and then what I receive, that's what I give. So I want to ask you, if you're not receiving, what are you giving? If you're not receiving, what are you giving? What are you giving to your family? What are you giving to your work? You're just giving yourself. You need to receive, and then you need to respond. Okay, this is in the Be Free devotional, okay? Just a little preview. You need to receive, and then you need to respond. We have our part, but our first part is receiving. We need to receive love from the Father. We need to abide. And then when we receive, you have to respond. You have to respond. I want to say that there's some of us in here, we're only receiving and we're not responding. Catalyst, done a great job in receiving. That's been very formative to me. But I want to say, you cannot mature if you don't respond. In fact, you cannot increase your capacity to receive unless you respond. Because what God pours in, we have to pour out. But the first step, we have to slow down and receive. And then when you receive, you have to respond. Serving and loving other people is how to respond. In verse 5, when it says, you'll bear much fruit, what is the fruit? It's loving other people. That's the fruit that's going to come out. It's not going to come out from your self-effort. It's not going to come from your duty or obligation. It's not going to come from your trying harder to love people because that's what a good Christian is supposed to do. It's going to come when you receive the Lord's love. There's nothing more natural than receiving it and then giving it. There's nothing more natural. It doesn't require energy. Okay? How do I know that when I'm receiving? Is I have the statement, I'm doing a lot, but it doesn't feel like it. That's my litmus test. Because it's not about not doing stuff, but it's being unhurried here. I'm doing a lot, I'm very fruitful, but it doesn't feel like it. I'm not hurried. Okay? This is what it means to be available. We have to make room. We have to make room. I invite the worship team to come on up. And just want to spend a little time making room for the Lord right now. We want to be still and know that you're God. We want to rest in your sovereignty, that you're in control of all things, so that we don't have to be. You are in control of all things, so that we don't have to be. We can rest in you. So even in our silence, help us to recognize that you're present. To know that you're God and that we're not. And I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful that I don't have to be, because you are. And as we receive you, recognize your presence here. Help us to receive and then respond. Respond to you. Worship you. Adore you. Declare you are good. You are good. You are good. You are good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Help us to be good receivers. And then help give us the courage to be good responders. Thank you, Lord. Thanks for initiating for us. You always go first. You always go first so that we don't have to. So we want to receive you right now, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.